Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Hey, chickens, your thoughts and theories, they keep coming. Oh, my Lord. Revolution of the Daleks, the New Year's Day special. I've got heaps and heaps and heaps more theories. And heaps and heaps more theories. What language am I speaking? This is the fabulous Adam Richard. Thank you for all of your messages, and there are many of them. We'll start with Doctor, who has already contributed, but he just keeps going, who says, also, whilst we're at it, there may be a slight possibility that Cassandra O'Brien, the talking bedsheet, and Graham O'Brien from O'Brien and Sinclair Alien Investigators may or may not be related. Oh, thank you. That's a fun one. Peter, who does the ridiculous text-alongs and is promising to do one for my birthday treat, Peter has sent me a post where someone has made a Pating, the tiny, tiny, I think that was her name, the doctor's name for it, the Pating in the prison, and put them in the little red jumpsuit. Oh, God, it's so good. Paul says, I found myself more emotionally invested in the Daleks' internal conflict than the fate of the companions we already knew were leaving. Oh, dear. Perhaps just like Ryan, I had moved on in the 10 months since the good doctor was last in our lives. Yeah, it's been a long, weird 10 months. Also, Paul says, as a vehicle for Captain Jack, it worked okay. Rescues the doctor, kills the Daleks, then Jack's off to Cardiff. Luke wants to know whatever happened to the TARDIS the Doctor travelled in at the end of the Timeless Children, the one that was a tree, and wonders if the Master found it. Oh, I liked that one that became a tree. That was cute. James has sent me a huge slab of theoretical business. Gosh, he says, there were some lovely bits of Revolution. The Doctor's prison scenes were a delight, lots of good monster gags, and I thought the design and execution of the holographic instructions was terrific. Yeah, that was fun. Very AR, which is the new thing, I guess. Although welcome as Jack was, it was the shame the Doctor didn't rescue herself. Yes, you're not alone there, James. I was right about Yaz going doolally, getting that TARDIS to work. I know. The fan was as good as ever, and I appreciate that Ryan was clearly not as into it as before. Set up his marvellous leaving scene very well. Especially great was Graham's dawning realisation that he was going to leave too. Beautiful. Oh, I know. A few people have complained that Graham didn't have much to do and that it didn't seem to be his choice. But I don't know. The scene with Graham going, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to go as well. It reminded me. I had like a weird emotional moment. It reminded me of when I broke up with someone who I'd been living with for maybe 6 years. This is like quite a while ago now. And like maybe 10 years ago. Anyway, I had a dog, was my dog from Celebrity Dog School. And part of the reason we broke up was because I came back from a Talking Puffy tour of Adelaide and there was a puppy. And, you know, and he said his kid wanted a puppy and that was fine and I got all that. But it was just one of those things. It's like, you know, living with a puppy is a huge life decision. Like, it's not something that you kind of take on all of a sudden. So anyway, that was the reason we broke up. And then, so I went and found somewhere to live and I made sure I had a backyard so I could take my dog with me and all that kind of stuff. But it just, I just had this moment, like, when I, you know, had collected my stuff and packed it up and was about to leave and take the dog with me and just was like, you know what? I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go and do radio. Then at nighttime, I go out and do gigs. Like, I won't be here. The poor dog's going to be sitting in this little courtyard of a unit. And he's got a new friend. Like, you know, the dog loved the puppy. And it was just one of those moments where, you know, a decision makes itself apparent to you, even though you're not, it's not a decision you want to make, but you kind of go, well, I have to decide this because this is better for the dog. And, you know, he had a massive backyard and a friend and just, you know, it was, I mean, it wasn't like I never saw him again. It was just a breakup. Like, we're still mates. So anyway, that was how I felt watching Graham make that decision about leaving the TARDIS. It was just kind of like, I really want to stay, but you know what? This relationship, my grandson is more important to me, even though, you know, I married his grandmother late in life. It's just, he means a lot to me. It was just really hard. It was beautiful. Anyway, I don't know how we got there. James goes on to say, Daleks! Exclamation mark. Why did you put the exclamation mark? I have to say it now. How much does he love that new design? A lot, apparently. It somehow manages to look both hokey and badass. These boys are just mean. What a shame we may never see them again. James also says, I really enjoyed the nuclear option, even if it all seemed a bit rushed in the third act. But my single greatest moment of fanish joy came in the extreme close-up of one of the proper Daleks inside the old-school TARDIS. Wobbly eyepiece and roundels, heaven. Unfortunately, however, the story was always playing catch-up for me as I really struggled with the episode's framing. Our human baddies were having a lovely time, but the presentation of Daleks as a solution for security problems felt wrong to me at the end of the year we've just been through. Especially making a black man complicit in their design, even though the show was obviously trying to say that the security drones were a bad idea. I think we just needed to see a little bit more of an active comment. Doctor Who has a deep history of telling stories of rebellion against authoritarianism, and this was needed here. Yeah, I know it's kind of difficult because this was filmed, you know, at the end of last year, early this year. Like, it was before anything, any of the craziness that happened in 2020 happened. So I get that. But yeah, it could have been done in a voiceover quite easily. I do kind of agree with you there, James. James is also bothered by the direction and editing in the first half, which felt rather leaden. All in all, while the jewels were very pretty, I didn't much like the design of the ring in which they had been set. And then he says, to end on a high, this is the first episode where I felt that the 13th Doctor's TARDIS interior looked good and was well utilized. Up till now, this has been my least favorite TARDIS interior. Dark, cramped, and stagey, but here it felt lighter and more spacious. And we got some fresh angles. More, please. And his bonus happy thing was the sound of the Osaka cloning factory being reminiscent of the mutant growth chamber in Genesis of the Daleks, the Tom Baker story. Oh, I want to watch that now. It's one of my favourites. More from Matt's very, very long letter that I read out some of the other day. He says, Jack, I was a bit apprehensive about this before the event. Following his short appearance in Fugitive of the Jadoon, I didn't think I could put up with 75 minutes of John Barrowman in full-on hyperactive mode. But thankfully, he was much more balanced and like the Jack of old. That's the weird thing with Barrowman. Like, he as a personality, as a celebrity, is like this big, massive over-the-top thing, but as an actor, he really knows when to rein it in, which is confusing. Matt also says, it was a pleasure to have him back, even if it did serve as a reminder of the good old days and how things aren't quite as good as they used to be, in your opinion, Matthew. Matt says he sparked off the Doctor beautifully with barely any reference to the fact that he's now she, exactly as it should be. Jack would react more to a bad new haircut than a sex change. That's true. The relationship between him and Yaz was lovely, a real mentor-student bit. New series of Torchwood with Yaz joining. I'm calling it now, and I'm more than here for it. Oh, bless you, Matt. His only disappointment with Jack was his departure. Having waxed lyrical all episode about how wonderful it was to be with the Doctor again, he then just sashays away off screen, leaving a voicemail. Really? It really undercut his return to not have a proper goodbye. Yeah, a few people have commented on that. It is a very strange moment. Then Matt goes on to say, Graham and Ryan's departure. I think that the new Who, a term he hates, has rather made a rod for its own back over the years. They've established now that the Doctor comes and goes, picks up and drops off the companion so they can maintain a life on Earth and also travel the universe. So why was there any need for Graham to choose? Surely the Doctor could pop back and forth as she did for Rose, Martha, Donna, Amy, Rory, Clara, etc. So Graham could see more wonders, as he so clearly wants to, and see his grandson whenever he wants to. Is Yaz now completely cut off from her own family? Will the Doctor not be dropping her back to see her family in future episodes? And if she does, do we not then have to have a workaround why she's not dropping in for a cuppa with Graham and not suggesting a quick visit to the meringue restaurant for him? Oh, I love the idea of the meringue restaurant. That's why previous departures have had to be a little more final in recent years and why this one doesn't work for me. Oh, sweet pea. More of your thoughts and theories. It's a full week of theories. I'm loving this. All right, more next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.